What's up, church? Glad to be here with you this morning. Hopefully you are enjoying our Memorial Day weekend, and we're just glad that you're here. Last week, if you remember, we started a brand new series called Be Free. And we are going to, for the next 6 to 7 weeks, we're going to be walking through the book of Galatians. And really, I should say the letter to the Galatians, which was written by this guy named Paul. And it was written to a bunch of churches in a Roman province called Galatia. And we're going to jump in real quick this morning. Let me kind of remind you guys about the situation that's going on. In about 33 AD, Jesus dies. And he 3 days later, he starts appearing to his followers. He comes back from the dead. And when he talks to his followers, basically he gives them all kind of the same mission, same job to do. And he tells them, hey, you are going to be my witnesses. Meaning I want you to go out and I want you to tell the world, tell everybody about what I've done for them, because this thing is not just for the Jewish people. It's not just for you guys. This thing I'm doing that I did, all right, is dying for sins of mankind. I did for the world. And so let's bring up this map. Right here is Jerusalem. And that's where kind of all of this goes down. That's where Jesus dies. It's kind of the epicenter of this whole thing. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, I want you to reach the entire city of Jerusalem. I want you to tell the entire city of Jerusalem what I did for them. And then he says, I want you to tell the entire area, Judea, right, the region outside of that. And then he's like, I want you to tell Samaria, and I want you to tell, right, the ends of the earth. I want you to tell everybody about what I've done. I want you to tell the world that God wants a relationship with you, right? That God made a way, right? Not by you climbing your way up to him, but no. He came down to you. See, the author of our story wrote himself into our story. And so that's exactly what they started doing. The followers, what they start doing from Jerusalem right here is that they start spreading the news. And it goes out and out and out and out. Eventually, it reaches the city right up here called Antioch. Antioch was maybe the first time that there was a church there that was primarily made up of non-Jewish people. All right, and the Jewish people called non-Jewish people Gentiles, all right? We're a little worried about that. Like, I think it's Gentiles. I'm not so sure. I don't want to answer. Okay, so Gentiles, we're going to be talking about that word a lot today, all right? Gentiles is just non-Jewish people. And so this church in Antioch was primarily made up of Gentiles, meaning non-Jewish people. Maybe for the first time in history, it's a church that looked kind of like us or similar to ours. And so from there, right, from Antioch, there's this guy named Paul who went to church in Antioch. That's where he was, who before he had gotten saved, he actually hated Christians. In fact, he hated them so much that he tracked them down and hunted them down, right, to throw them in prison. And hopefully his goal was that they would all be killed. Okay, and so Paul, that was him. But he gets saved, and a guy named Barnabas actually kind of takes Paul under his wing and kind of mentors Paul. And from Antioch, Paul and Barnabas, all right, they leave and they go to travel around the Roman Empire to tell as many people as possible. And the Antioch church, they're the ones that kind of send them out. And they go from Antioch, they go up here, they go into Galatia. And in Galatia, they stop at church after church. Sorry, let me take that back. They stop at town after town after town, church, or I said it again, city after city after city. There were no churches until they were there. Starting these churches and telling people about the gospel, telling people about Jesus. And in each city, they would start a church there. So they would get everybody together, all right? They would get all the people that have given their life over to Jesus, which would be a small crowd, and they would appoint leaders in that city, and they would stay with them for a matter of weeks or for a matter of months and kind of get everybody going, and then they would leave and move on to the next city. And it was awesome. It was a cool thing that was happening. We see this in Acts chapter 14, all right? We see kind of the whole story, and these Galatian people, they start to believe, and they get really, really excited, and Paul and Barnabas, right, they start going from town to town to town, and everything is going good, but then something happens. Remember, right, last week we talked about how some men from Jerusalem, right, they travel up to Galatia, and they too start going from town to town to town, and they start visiting all these baby, brand new churches, and when they get there, right, they say, hey, we are from Jerusalem. We're from where all of this started just a few years ago, and they say, hey, we're from corporate, okay? And so we got some stuff to tell you. So it's so great that you believe in our Messiah, Jesus, and our Savior and all. We're so happy for you. But you need to forget what Paul says, because you're not done. Okay, there's some other things that you have to do. Believing in Jesus and putting your trust in Jesus, that's kind of just like step one. Okay, there's some other steps that you got to do. In fact, they would say, there is a whole Old Testament law that you guys have to follow. And if you don't follow it, there's no way that you can get into heaven. Specifically, the rules in the Old Testament law that we see, there were specifically the rules that God gave to the Jewish people to keep them separate from the surrounding nations. And so there's some odd stuff in there. All right, so they're looking at these Galatian churches and these brand new baby Galatian believers. And they're like, okay, step one is you're wearing the wrong clothes, right? Because you're not wearing the right fabric that you have to wear, that Jewish people wear. And so you need to figure all that out because you need to convert and be one of us. Number two is you need to stop getting tattoos. Number three, you need to, there's no more bacon wrapped anything, all right? The bacon wrapped everything, all that is gone, all right? Because you're not allowed to eat bacon, and so you can't do that. And then they're like, oh yeah, and one small, tiny, minor thing, all you men out there, you need to get circumcised, okay? And if you don't know what that is, just saying, you can stop by and talk to Pastor Mike afterwards. He'll be happy to explain what exactly that is. And so as you can imagine, all right, all the men in these churches, they go to online only, and they don't want to go to church anymore because they don't want they don't want to get roped into anything, okay? And so these guys come, and what they're actually doing is they're adding a bunch of religious stuff that you have to do to be saved from hell. And the Galatian churches, they start to believe it. And Paul hears about this. And when Paul hears that they are starting to believe that, hey, you have to follow the Old Testament law, you got to do all this stuff, when Paul hears about this, he gets mad. I mean, the thing you got to remember is that when you're reading the book of Galatians, or really, again, the letter of Galatians, Paul is angry. He's got attitude when he's writing this stuff, okay? He is not happy. And as we saw last week, the way he kind of begins this, he's just like, what are you doing? Right? He starts off saying, I'm Paul, you're the Galatians. Okay, cool, got that over with. All right? I am amazed that you guys are leaving the gospel. All right, I'm amazed you guys are changing your beliefs. What are you doing? And he accuses them, and this is exactly what they're doing, is they're distorting the gospel, meaning literally they are reversing the gospel. And let me just define what that is real quick. So if you're new here, and that's cool, we are so glad that you're here. The gospel is probably a word that you've heard before. It's just you don't use it in everyday life because you only hear that at church, and it's a super churchy word. But the word gospel literally means good news. That's it. All right, it's the good news, all right? It's not good advice, all right, so you can be the better person or better version of you. It's not the 12 things that you got to do to go to heaven, okay? That's not what the gospel is. No, the gospel is the good news, specifically the good news of what Jesus has done for each and every one of us, and that, by the way, is you are so not good enough. But Jesus still loved you so much that he came willingly, died a horrible death just for the opportunity at a relationship with you. See, religion reverses the gospel. Religion is, you've probably heard me say this before many times, I'm sure, but just to define it, religion is a bunch of do's and don'ts that you have to do in order to appease God. And so someday, you'll be standing before God, and it'll be Judgment Day or whatever you want to call it, and God's going to look at you, and you're going to say, hey, God, look at all my good stuff, and he's going to look at all your good stuff that you did throughout your entire life, and he's going to be like, man, I am so impressed. That's a lot of good stuff. I really like your good stuff. Hey, I need that good stuff. All right, I really need you on my team. You're in. All right, come on up to heaven. I need you. All right, that scenario does not happen. That's not real. See, religion tells us if we obey, then we will be saved. The gospel is the opposite. The gospel is, no, God saved, therefore we obey. The order is everything. And so these Jewish guys come and they reverse the order, right? They distort the gospel. And the Galatian churches are falling into the trap of religion. And by the way, it's the same thing that a bunch of Christian churches teach all over town today. Right, let's be real for a second. All right, today, we know churches in town in Northwest Ohio and in Seneca County and in Tiffin, right? Churches, we're not arguing about circumcision or the Old Testament law. Okay, that's not what's going on. What we do is, or what churches do, we don't do this. What other churches do, or many other churches, is they say, hey, yeah, we're totally cool with Jesus. All right? You put your trust in Jesus. We are totally cool with that. We are on Team Jesus. So put your trust in Jesus and your communion. Put your trust in Jesus and your confession. Put your trust in Jesus and you better do penance. All right? Put your trust in Jesus and you better get baptized. All right? Put your trust in Jesus and you better go to church. Or put your trust in Jesus and you better be a good person. All right? You have to do a bunch of good stuff. That's what you need to do to get into heaven. And here's the kicker about the gospel. There is no and in the gospel. It's not Jesus and anything. It's just Jesus. That's it. All right, that's the freedom that we have. See, most of you, let's be honest, you came from a church that practiced religion, not the gospel. See, the gospel is not God saves all good people. That's what we think. That's what we assume for some reason. The gospel is there are no good people. All right? There's not one. But everybody has the opportunity to surrender their life to Jesus and to be saved because of what Jesus did, not by what we do. And so Paul comes on the scene. If you remember last week, he says, you gotta stick with the gospel. All right? It's the same gospel. It's the same good news that Jesus himself verbally gave to me, Paul says. It's the same good news that I've been telling people for years. It's the same good news that I told the other church leaders back in Jerusalem, and they backed me up, okay? So all the church leaders, we all agree on the central truth of the gospel that Jesus came and he died for us. This is not by anything that we do. And that's where we left off last week. So we'll start in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul today, by the way, is going to give us two examples of church leaders and situations where people were deviating, where they were leaving the gospel, getting off track from the gospel, and running back to religion. And this is an issue in Paul's mind. It's an issue for us here today, especially in our culture, especially here, ironically, in Tiffin. So this is what he says. He says, I went up again to Jerusalem, all right, and I took Barnabas and Titus along also. So they go, and he's referring to a time that Paul, just years before, had went to Jerusalem to meet with the church leaders there, and he took Barnabas with him, and he's got Titus. Titus, by the way, was a young Greek guy, so not Jewish at all. And they go down to Jerusalem, and he says, when they arrived, who's they? Okay, we're switching over to Acts 15, by the way. Okay, so he says, when they arrived, this is actually Luke writing now. When they arrived, meaning Paul, Barnabas, and Titus at Jerusalem, here's the story. It says, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. See, here's the thing that was going on within Jewish circles, especially within the church. For generation after generation, God had pulled the Jewish people. They were supposed to be a separate, special people for him. Specifically, a line that the Messiah would be born through. And the Messiah, again, is just a churchy word for Savior. It's a Jewish word for Savior. And this is somebody special who is supposed to come. And he did come, right? That was Jesus. Someone who's going to come, and he was going to save the world, which is exactly what he did. And so for Jewish people, they grew up thinking of like, hey, we are God's special people. We are the chosen ones. All right, he's given us this special list of rules that we're going to follow to keep us separate from everybody else. And so for them, it's like it's very, very hard for them to understand that non-Jewish people could be saved too. And they're like, whoa, 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 what's going on? All right, non-Jewish people are accepting the message of Jesus. Non-Jewish people believe in this Jesus guy and our Savior is how they viewed it. And so here's Paul. He comes to town, and he's just like, dude, it's crazy, right? These people, they haven't left their Jewish circles. Paul's been all over the world at this point, and he's just like, yeah, man, it's crazy. All right, people all over the world are giving their life to Jesus, and the church is growing by leaps and bounds, and it is awesome to watch and is awesome to see. And so they are hearing all this stuff. He says, but some of the believers who belong to the party of the Pharisees, all right, now real quick, have you been in church for any amount of time? You grew up in church maybe? You're like, whoa, 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 I thought those guys were bad. All right, ain't those the bad guys? All right, weren't those the ones that who killed Jesus? Like all throughout Jesus' story in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, weren't the Pharisees like all anti-Jesus? Weren't they the ones who were like the Jesus haters? And now what do we see? We got some of these people in church who are Pharisees. What's going on? And these guys are leaders? Like what happened? And by the way, I'm just saying, if you grew up in church and you grew up all religious, you know all the religious stuff, you got really, really good news because that means even you can be saved. I'm just saying. That's great. It's harder maybe for you because you automatically assume that you're in and you're not automatically in, but even you can be saved. See, these Pharisees, these guys were like the religious of the religious. These guys were religious elite people. They followed all the rules, and they were the ones that had Jesus killed because he didn't follow their rules. And 3 days later, Jesus comes back, and he's walking around, and the Pharisees, they see this. And so a bunch of Pharisees are like, oh, wow, I guess we were wrong. And he actually is God, and so I think we're switching teams. I think I'm going to Team Jesus. And so they switched over, and they gave their lives to Jesus. But when they did that, they also brought along the religious baggage to church, which is wrong. And so they start saying things like, whoa, it is necessary to circumcise them. In which case, all the men are like, wait, what? What do you do? We don't do that. And to command them to keep the law of Moses. It's the Old Testament law. They're really stuck on this circumcision thing, which was just one of the hundreds of laws within the Old Testament law. But as you can imagine, that's the main one that all the men didn't want to do. Okay, so that's what's going on with this situation. And so these guys get on the scene, they're like, whoa, they have to follow our rules. They have to follow our religious rules. And so all the church leaders, they get together and they have this debate and think about it. You got Peter there. You got Barnabas there. You got Paul there. You got James there. I mean, you have the who's who of church leaders. And so Peter talks for a little bit. He gets up, and then Paul gets up and talks for a little bit. And then James stands up. And when James stands up, I imagine like a hush goes over the crowd. They're like, dude, this guy's the guy. See, James was the pastor of the Jerusalem church. And he's like, oh, the crowd is like, this is Jesus' brother. This is crazy. His half-brother. I mean, he grew up with Jesus. And James gets up and he says, why? He addresses the whole crowd. He's like, why are we making it difficult for people to come to Jesus? Why do we make it hard, all right, for people to turn to God? And by the way, can I just say this? There's many even good Bible-teaching, gospel-believing churches that do this too. We as churches, all right, and we as church people have the propensity to make it difficult for people to turn to God. We have the tendency to forget the whole reason why the church is here, which is to do whatever we possibly can to reach as many people as we possibly can with the gospel, with this good news. And you know what we do instead? This is so messed up. Instead, we force religion on people. The exact thing that God came to save us from. The exact thing that's the reverse of what the gospel truly is. And what many churches do is we talk about all the things that you can't do. Can't do that, can't dance, you can't run in the church, you can't do all these things, you can't drink. All right, I remember one time I went with a friend to her church. She invited me to church. I'd never been there before. And so I go, and I was sitting kind of right in the middle of the road, like right in front of the pastor. And this had nothing to do with his message or anything, but he gets down and he gets his finger out, and every time, and this guy was like a fiery, like fire and brimstone type guy. You've been to a church like that before? No? Some of you guys came from a church like that before. Intense. You know, you're like, I'm going to hell. You know, it's like, what's going on? Anyway, he gets his finger out, and every time you get your finger out, you know something's going down, and he points at me, and he kind of leans out over his pulpit, you know, and he's like, and you, and he points right at me. He's talking to me. I don't know what the deal is. And he's like, and you better never get a tattoo. You know, I'm like, in the middle of church? You know, he's like mad. And then he points at some poor woman, and he's like, who's clearly a mother. And he says, and you better never let your children get a tattoo. He starts going on about tattoos. And over, on and on and on. And I'm like, dude, I'm not, like, there's a bunch of people with tattoos here. Like, are they coming back? I don't think so. And I don't think I'm going to come back either. Because this is messed up. And I'm also like, why is he so mad at me? You know, I didn't do anything. But he just goes on and on and on. A lot of churches, that's what we fall into. We fall into this rut where we start talking about, and we're just all about all the things that we can't do. And a lot of those things like tattoos, we're just kind of making up. You know, you can't do that. You can't wear this. Or some churches are like a club it's just hard to get into. You ever been to a church like that where you just don't fit in? All right, everybody has their own like groups and you're not in the group, and so it's just you're just kind of out of it. One time I went with another friend to another church, and at this point I was a young college kid. and they were doing communion. And I had never done communion like this, so I did not know the deal. I did not know what was going on. And so I'm sitting there. There's only one middle aisle in the church. I'm in my pew. I'm on the aisle, which is the best seats, by the way. You guys know, okay? And I'm sitting there, easy getaway in case I need to get out of here. And I'm sitting there with my friend. And this usher comes up, and they're like, we're taking communion and all that stuff. And he brings me a plate with a full loaf of bread on it. And I'm like, dang, dude, this church knows what's up, you know? Like, at my church, we get them little wafers. They taste like cardboard. This is like whole legit bread. And I was excited. And so I'm like, okay, so this is for us. And I split the bread in half like Jesus would do, okay? And I gave it to my buddy and with the plate. And so I'm sitting there with my communion bread. And then I looked at him, and he took a pinch off and passed it to the next row up. And I was like, oh, no, I've made a major mistake. And I looked over, and just to confirm my suspicions, the usher was standing there looking at me, and he was not happy. And what I realized was that loaf of bread was actually for the entire half of this church, and I had taken half the loaf. And I didn't know. I didn't know all the things. And so while everybody else is taking communion, they're like, you know, I'm like, it took me like 5 minutes to eat this thing. And I'm just like eating pieces of it. And trying to stuff it in my mouth, it was just bad. You know, it was embarrassing. I never went back to that church. I didn't want to show my face. They probably wouldn't have let me in anyway. See, some of you guys, you grew up that way. You know what I mean? Not necessarily with the whole loaf of bread, which is cool, okay? But, you know, you went to church, and just the way you grew up, like, you knew when to sing, when to stand up, when to sit down, when to turn around, right? You knew all the stuff. You knew what to say. You knew when to say it. You knew all the unwritten rules of your specific church, and you knew all the things, and that's good for you. All right, that's cool. I'm so glad that you knew all the things, but when you're new and you don't know those things, sometimes those things make it hard for us or make it hard for new people, hard for people that don't know Jesus to come to Jesus, which is a whole reason why we're here. I remember another time I went to a lot of churches, okay? I had to like pull back. I'm like, keep this to a minimum. I remember one time I went to another church with another friend, and again, I didn't know the rules. I didn't know what was happening. I just kind of did what they told me to do. Like, I stood up when they told me to stand up. I sat down when they told me to sit down. And again, I grew up in church, so you'd think church would be like comfortable for me, usually. But this was not. First of all, I walk in and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the pastor comes out, and I'm like, why is the dude wearing a dress? Okay, like, I don't understand that. Why is he wearing a dress? Like, that's not what, you know, come on, that's not what pastors at my church do. And it was a robe thing, but it was a nice dress. So it was what it looked like. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, that's weird. All right, don't really know what that's all about, but okay, that's what they do. That's fine. And then they called us out of our rows, out of our pews, to line us up for communion. I don't know if you've been to a church like this before, this is where you came from or whatever, but I'm like, all right, communion, I'm in, all right, like, I'm saved, like, let's do this. And so I get up, and we wait in line down the center aisle. He's, like, standing right here in the middle, and he's giving people communion, which I had never done before in my life, and so I go up there, and he asked me something, and I was trying to remember this week what it was, and I have no idea. But I didn't know, like, the secret phrase or the code word or whatever was going on in that church. And so he somehow knew I wasn't one of them, and he motioned me aside. He was like, you move along. You know, I'm like, okay. And I was a little hurt by that. I'm like, I didn't want to drink out of your cup anyway, because the guy before me had his mouth all over that thing, and I saw that, and so I wasn't going to drink out of it, and I'm like, I'm saved by the gospel and not through your backwash juice anyway, okay? Let's be honest. See, we at Grace, I'm just saying, I'm not saying we're better than other churches or anything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we want to make it as biblically easy as possible for people to find Jesus. That's why we're here. That's why we have coffee and tea and people at the doors just to say hi. It's why we have no dress code. In fact, a lot of times we try to dress down so that doesn't become a barrier for anybody. We never want to put up any roadblocks. That's why we have comfortable seats or semi-comfortable seats, not wooden pews, because we want it to be somewhat comfortable in here. We don't want to make it difficult. And that's kind of what James is saying here in this situation. James comes and he's like, how about, I got this idea, just thought of it. Let's not make it difficult for people to come to Jesus. How about we try that? It makes no sense. And then Paul gets up in this meeting with the who's who, and he says, hey, man, I've been telling everybody that it actually ain't about religion, and it's not about following the Old Testament law, and it's not about doing all this religious stuff. And then he's like, hey, and this is how I picture it. This isn't exactly in the Bible, but maybe this is how it went, where he says, hey, Titus, come on out here. And Titus kind of comes. He's like a younger guy, and he brings Titus out as Exhibit A. And he's like, Titus, tell him what you told me yesterday. And Titus is like, no, I'm good. And he's like, no, tell him. And Titus is like, oh, I just said I didn't want to get circumcised today, you know? And everybody's like, oh, yeah, I understand that. See, Titus, he was a Greek guy. He wasn't a Jew. And so Paul's like, are you guys good with that? And they're all like, Peter, James, and John, they're all start high-fiving everybody. And they're like, oh, we're cool with that. Okay, we're good. You're right, Paul. It's not Jesus and anything. It's not Jesus and circumcision. All right, it's not Jesus and no pork chops. It's not Jesus and the religious rules. It is just Jesus. And so here, Paul, he's writing to the Galatians. He's writing to all these churches. And he's saying, all of us church leaders, we're all on the same page, man. All right, you guys got to understand, Jesus plus anything ruins everything. And then he gives another example. He says, one time, all right, Cephas. Cephas is just another word for Peter. So Catholics, this is your favorite one. He says, Peter came to Antioch, right? That's Paul's home church. And he says, and I had to oppose him to his face. Now, when he says oppose, he didn't tweet about him. He didn't type a big long post on Facebook that everybody knew exactly who you're talking about, but you didn't give the name, and so you're safe, all right? He didn't do that. In fact, if you're new to church, this is Bible church code word for they had a big fight, okay? That's what that is. Big old new first-time church fight here. He says, when Peter came to Antioch, I had to fight him, all right? I had to oppose him to his face because he stood condemned, all right? Now, what happened? He says, for he regularly ate with the Gentiles. Gentiles, again, is non-Jewish people. People like, I'm assuming most of us, if not all of us. He says, he regularly ate with the Gentiles before certain men came from James, from Jerusalem. Now, this is the story. This is what happened. We see this in Acts chapter 15, I believe. Peter shows up in Antioch, and at first, you know, because he wants to see this whole thing. He's like, hey, man, non-Jewish people are getting saved. This is awesome. I want to check this out. And at first, things are going really, really, really good. I mean, think about it. If you were a part of the church in Antioch and Peter's coming to visit, wouldn't you want to meet him? I mean, I'd be like, yo, Peter, let's sit down. Let's have coffee. Let's hang out. I got some questions for you. Nothing really about Peter would interest me. It'd all be like, what was it like to be with Jesus? All right, tell me some stories that James and, or not James, but John and Matthew and Mark and Luke, tell me some stories that they didn't write down. All right, tell me the stuff that didn't make it in. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear the good stuff. All right, tell me about some of the other things that Jesus did. I want to know. And so everybody wants to meet Peter. They all want to know what it was like with Jesus. Peter was with Jesus for like 3 years. Everybody's super interested. And so what do? All right, they throw together a big old cookout. And you got a bunch of non-Jewish people there eating a bunch of non-Jewish food, which, by the way, is the best food, okay? They got the brats, they got ribs, they got steaks cooked medium rare, everything wrapped in bacon. I mean, they got lobster, they got all the things that a good Jewish boy is not supposed to eat. They got it all, and they're bringing it all out. And Peter pulls up to the table for the very first time in his life, and he gets, you know, he's ready to go, and he's taking a bite of ribs for the first time, and he's like, this is so good. He's like, man, never in my life did I realize this even existed. He's like, man, this is so good. And he is loving it, and he is stuffing his face with all those things, and everything is good until a bunch of Jewish guys show up from Jerusalem. And this is what happens. He says, when they came, Paul says, he says, he withdrew and he separated himself because he feared those from the circumcision party. Now, when he says circumcision party here, it's kind of like Paul making fun of these people. It's like a nickname for them. These are the people that taught that it was only that you could only be truly saved if you became fully Jewish, which included circumcision, right? Which Paul is kind of making fun of here. So these are the guys who comes on the scene. They're like, you can't eat that. You can't do this. You got to follow all the rules, and you better do it. Otherwise, you might go to hell, so you might want to watch out for that. And so here's Peter, all right, Pete, he's hanging out with all these dirty Gentiles until the religious people show up, and they're like, whoa, Peter, why are you eating with those people? And Pete's like, man, I ain't eating with them. What are you talking about? All right, what are you talking? And they all go to the next cookout. and you got them set at, they separate themselves. They're at two different tables. You got the Jewish people, they eat at the adult table, and you got the Gentile people, they eat at the kids' table. And the Jewish people are wondering, as they eat their Jewish food at their table, they're wondering if the dirty Gentiles are even able to be saved because they're not doing all the religious stuff that the Jewish people think that they should be doing. And so a guy comes up, they're like, hey, man, Pete, what's up? I've been smoking the sausage for like 3 days. All right, you want to try some? And Peter's like, nah, I don't eat that. I'm Jewish. No, I can't do it. Only because he wants to impress his Jewish friends. And so Paul and everybody are watching this happen. He says, then the rest of the Jews, they joined in his hypocrisy, Peter's hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas, this, I wonder if he's writing this to the Galatian people, if this like hurts Paul's heart. Man, Barnabas, he's like the nicest guy in the church. You know that guy? Man, this guy who's like, every time you text him, he's sending emojis, happy faces all the time. He's just always happy. He's just always all into that stuff. And Barnabas was the guy who took Paul in when Paul first got saved. When nobody wanted to hang out with Paul because Paul was killing people, right? Barnabas was the guy who was like, nah, he's with me. I got him. Don't worry about it, guys. I'll take care of this. He was kind of Paul's mentor. And so here Paul's writing to the Galatian people, and he's like, man, even Barnabas caught up in this. Even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy, by Peter's hypocrisy. He says, but when I saw that they were deviating from the truth, meaning going off course from the gospel, the truth of the gospel. I mean, this is a central thing to him. This is like the main thing of the thing. Here's Peter, here's Barnabas, here's all these supposedly Christians and even leaders that are going off course from the main thing of what Christianity stands for, which is we do nothing. Jesus did it all. They are deviating from the truth of the gospel. He says, I had to do it. I told Peter in front of everybody. All right, you ever seen a church fight like happen in front of everybody? Not here. Okay, but maybe in another church or something like that. This had to have been awesome to watch. All right, this is entertainment right here. You got Peter and Paul going toe-to-toe in front of everybody. And Paul tells them this. He says, if you, Peter, who are a Jew, Peter's like, yeah, I am a Jew. He says, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, right? Because he had just witnessed, like last week, Peter stuffing his face with them ribs. And Jewish people aren't allowed to have ribs. He's like, if you, who are a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, because I saw you eating that, and all the Jewish people are like, wait, you had ribs? Wait, what? Is that true, Peter? He says, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? You don't even follow your own rules. And you're making them follow your rules? So you've had this happen to you. I kind of feel bad for Peter right here. He's caught. Paul catches him in front of everybody. You ever have it where you act like, we all do this, where we act one way with one group of people and another way with a different group of people, but then when they get together, it's like your worlds collide. It causes chaos. It's a problem. This used to happen all the time when I was a youth pastor. I'd have my student leaders. These were like the best of the best. Like these kids I pour into, and these kids were the ones that were like doing everything. And they'd be like, you know, they're like, hey, yeah, Zach, I'm inviting all my friends to church. I'm like, you know, I'm telling everybody about Jesus. Like I'm doing all the things that I'm supposed to do. And then I'd go to like the football game on Friday night, and I'd see them and with their friends. And I'm like, hey, yo, what's up, TJ? And TJ's friend's like, who are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm TJ's youth pastor. And then they're like, TJ, you go to church? And I'm like, what the heck, man? Come on, TJ. You know, it's that type of thing. See, that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, hey, the problem is Peter acts one way with this group of people and another way with that group of people, and it's messed up. And so Paul goes toe-to-toe with Peter, and then check this out. Paul then goes on to explain the gospel to Peter. He goes on to explain the gospel to Peter in front of everybody, saying we are saved not because of something we do or don't do. We are saved not because of our religious stuff or our religious rule following. We are saved because we accept Jesus as our Savior, and he did everything. And so here's Paul. Years later, he's writing to the Galatian church that is going through the same issue as Peter. And Paul's saying, when I saw Peter living out of step with the gospel and living out of step with Jesus, I called him out. And now I'm calling you out, Galatian churches, because you are deviating and you are going off course and you are enslaving yourself to religion again. And Paul's point is, this is no gospel. He says, think of it this way. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. By the way, if you have given your life over to Jesus, which is not everybody in this room, but for maybe the majority of us that have, I'm just saying, let me point this out to you. All right, you can insert yourself in here. All right, you have been crucified with Christ. When you gave your life over to Jesus in that moment, the old you died. It's gone. It's over. It'll never be back. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. I'm dead. I'm gone. The real me or the old me, but Christ lives in me. See, when we make the decision, when we put our full trust, not part of our trust, but our full trust in Jesus, God moves in. He starts working on us. You are a new you. The old you is dead. See, some of us, some of you, when we look in the mirror, we need to quit looking at the thing that Jesus died for on the cross. That's the old you. And the old you is gone. Never come back again. He says, the life I now live in the body, he says, I live by faith in Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, isn't this great news? Like, isn't this great news? Isn't this good news? This is not pull yourself up by your bootstraps and try harder, do better. No, here's Paul saying, he's saying he took care of it. He took care of all of it. And Jesus already knew exactly what he was getting when he paid full price for you. He already knew all your faults. He knew what was wrong with you. He knew how jacked up you were. And he showed us grace. And so because of that, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, or in our case, for here today, in our society, we should say religion. All right, let's fill that in. If I did not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through religion and following all the rules, then Jesus died for nothing. Paul's saying, man, if you could be good enough to get to heaven, then Jesus was wasting his time on that cross. That was worthless. Like, if you think that you are saved because of what Jesus did and what you do, then what you're actually saying is, hey, Jesus, I appreciate it, but what you did on the cross was not enough, and you actually need my help. That's what you're saying. See, the problem is there's church people all over, and even church people in here, that we think the way it works is God is a good God, and so God, good people go to heaven because God really, really, really likes good people, and those church people, again, a lot of us, all right, we think that we're good people, and so we're in. We're good. But if you think that good people go to heaven, if that's how, the way you think, I'm telling you, you are in the trap of religion. You have fallen for the trap of religion. And I'm here to say you are wrong. You're wrong. See, the only way we get to heaven is by fully trusting in what Jesus did for us. Not Jesus and. It's not Jesus and anything. It's not Jesus and anything that we do. Just Jesus. And if you haven't let go of your good stuff yet, then you are not free. You are not free. You are a slave, is what you are, to religion. Hoping that your so-called goodness, however you define it, will be good enough someday. And I'm here to tell you, it's not. See, it's so easy to fall into the trap of religion. Churches all over Galatia fell into that trap. Churches in Antioch were falling into that trap. The church in Jerusalem, which was like the biggest one, I mean, they had the best leaders, fell into that trap. Barnabas fell into that trap. Peter falls into that trap. You see how easy this is? Jesus came to set you free. But our tendency is to run back to religion and to run back to rules that enslaves us. Don't do it. Don't do that. If we have given our life to Jesus, if you have made that decision in your life, if you have put your 100% of your trust in him, you are free from that. He came to set you free. And we should live that way. Let's pray. God, we thank you for loving us. And Lord, it is so easy for us to fall into the trap of religion. We all have the tendency to do this. I don't know why we do it. Who wants to live that way? Who wants to live wondering if our good stuff is good enough? Not me. But we all have the tendency to do that. Lord, it's literally slavery for us. It's us enslaving ourselves into rules and religious stuff. That's not what you, it's not what we're supposed to do. That's not how we're supposed to live. That's not what you want for us. You want us to be free. God, we ask for your help on that because we need it. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for all this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.